Hey everyone, welcome to Share Your Sparkle. I'm your host, Dr. Darlene Berrios, and this is episode 15, Worthiness. Hey people, thanks for tuning in. I want to continue to thank you for spending time with me, whether it's 15, 20, 30 minutes of your day, maybe while you're walking your dog or doing work around the house or whatever it is that you might be doing. I super appreciate that you're taking time to listen to these messages and my stories, and I truly want to get some people on the show, and I've already talked to a few people. So please reach out if you're interested in sharing your story or you have a topic that you want to talk about, because part of this work is not just me sharing my voice, but it's you sharing your stories and what you have to say to the world. All right, so please reach out. I also want to say I have a new listener, someone from England, right outside of London, and I'm not trying to be a stalker. It's just the analytics you get from anything that you basically do nowadays. I don't see who's listening. I can just tell where people are listening from, even though Buzzsprout, I think I mentioned before, had some weird thing where there were a bunch of people from like Lake Stevens, Washington listening, but it had to do with people's phone settings or something not updating or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly, but all I have to say to that is holy Heathrow. That airport over there is ginormous. It's super ginormous. And while I would love to do a story about more like related to not travel, but Paris, as my brother was, when I talked to him, prompted me to share more stories about a former relationship, I was like, no way, it's too raw. And so I'm not going to go there, but I do have some travel tips. And it is related to that time that we went to Paris. We went through from Boston to London, London to Paris. But on the way back, this was in March 2018, there were these strikes happening related to travel in Paris, and some flights got canceled. And our flight from Paris to London got canceled, and we were like, holy moly, how are we going to get back to the United States? You know, we have to work. And here's a travel tip. Press 1 for Spanish. I'm not kidding. Listen to this. So it's the night before we're supposed to leave. The flight gets canceled, and I believe it was Expedia that we had used. And my former partner, she speaks Spanish fluently, and so we're on the phone, and we were doing the English version. So we just held on the phone, we're on hold for about, I'm going to say almost 2 hours. And I think part of that was related to like all these cancellations that were happening in Paris at the time. And so we're on hold. And then for some reason, we had to call back. And I can't remember exactly. I think whatever flight we were given, it wasn't going to give us enough time to catch our next flight to Heathrow. I mean, to Boston. So when we got to London, it wasn't going to be enough time to catch our Boston flight. So we had to call back, and I'm like, forget it. Let's just press the Spanish one. Come on. And it was on speaker the whole time, you know, so we could both hear what was going on. And then we were literally on hold for just 5 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, everyone was speaking English. So press 1 for Spanish or whatever the number is. It was way faster. So that's my travel tip for you for when we can travel. And the other thing is, I want to thank the girls I raised for giving me this awesome present, a vanity plate of Connecticut that says Holy Wi-Fi. I think they got it on Etsy. But super thoughtful, super wonderful. And I have it up hanging behind me. And I hope one day to get some real vanity plates. And when I do, I will let you know what they are. The big reveal, that'll be its own episode. So thanks for listening. There's my travel tip, and thanks for the gift, girls. All right, today I'm going to talk about worthiness, and I actually want to start with a quote from Bayard Rustin, and I thought his name was Bayard, but I was listening to the people who were speaking about him during a documentary, and they referred to him as Bi, so Bayard Rustin, a gay civil rights activist during the 1960s. And his, he said, or I have this quote that I'm going to use, "The proof that one believes is in the action." The proof that one believes is in the action. So I've been talking a lot about mindset, and I'm going to continue that conversation today with worthiness. But a part of that, you know, in addition to just thinking and believing certain things, you do need to take steps to make things happen. Or I think that mindset piece is the foundation, and then the steps that you take afterwards lead you to things that maybe weren't in your life before when you had a different kind of mindset. So Bayard Rustin, the proof that one believes is in the action. I'm also bringing him up because, well, I'm recording right now on Monday, January 18th, which is Martin Luther King Day. And so instead of talking about Martin Luther King, I'm actually going to talk about Bayard for a little bit. So some of you know that he was one of the key figures during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom on August 28th, 1963. He was instrumental in making that march happen. And if you don't know, now you know. And just a little history about him. He was born Bayard Taylor Rustin in Pennsylvania, March 17th, 1912. And I'm reading this from PBS. He had no relationship with his father, and his 16-year-old mother, Florence, was so young, he thought she was his sister. From his grandparents, Jennifer and Julia Rustin, he took his Quaker values, which, in his words, were based on the concept of a single human family and the belief that all members of that family are equal. And if you're familiar with the Quaker religion, Quakers don't fight. They just don't fight. So this continued. He became a, you know, nonviolent protester, traveled to India, and attended like a world pacifist conference. Gandhi was assassinated earlier that year, but he was a big believer in his teachings. And one of the things he says, he was quoted as saying, was, "We need in every community a group of angelic troublemakers." We need in every community a group of angelic troublemakers. And I think maybe in this way I might be, especially because the stuff I'm going to talk about a little bit later has to do with church and me completely blowing up this like one statement that the church uses every day during Mass. I'm saying the Catholic Church. So I think I'm kind of like an angelic troublemaker right now, but that's good. That's what we need, right? he was associated and worked with Dr. King, but at some point, Dr. King distanced himself from him because some other leader was like, "Oh, I'm going to say that you guys are in a relationship," because that was another part of Bayard's socially significant identity, was that he was a gay Black male. And this is like in the 1940s and 50s when that was, you know, just completely frowned upon, and in fact jailed at some point for it, I believe in California. Eventually, people like right before the march were organizing and trying to figure out, you know, how to take this movement to the next level. And even after the distance of Dr. King and Bayard Rustin was like, "Listen, you know," I mean, he didn't say this, but his belief in the civil rights movement took a front seat over any sort of pain or hurt from them kind of not working together anymore. And he became one of the instrumental organizers. Unfortunately, you know, he was behind the scenes a lot, and he in his circle, he was an openly gay man, but out you know, in the public, that was something that he knew at some point. I think he said he had to sublimate it, you know, kind of like he knew how his identity impacted who he was in the world. There is a documentary called Brother Outsider. I haven't seen it, but it's called Brother Outsider, and it's a story about Bayard Rustin. And what I love was that in, I believe it was 2013, let me just double check here, Obama, oh man, do all of you miss the Obamas or is it just me? Oh my goodness, like really? But in 2013, Obama, after, you know, posthumously, gave Bayard Rustin the presidential honor, Presidential Medal of Freedom. So he was a recipient, and it says here, he was an unyielding activist for civil rights, dignity, and equality for all, an advisor to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He promoted nonviolent resistance, participated in one of the first freedom rides, organized the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, and fought tirelessly for marginalized communities at home and abroad. As an openly gay African-American, Mr. Rustin stood at the intersection of several of the fights for equal rights. So today I'm bringing him up because MLK, you know, was able to do his thing because of Mr. Rustin behind the scenes. So to him, thank you. And I appreciate the quote, "The proof that one believes is in the action." But before I get to the action part, let's talk about mindset. If you've been listening, you know that for a couple years, I went to church. And I think I said, like I mentioned before, like I fell asleep a lot in church. Like when I would sit afterwards or go in because it was really quiet. I told you there's just candles on and no one's going to bother you. So it was really like, and I wasn't sleeping for like hours. It was like these like micro sleeps, or close my eyes. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I feel so refreshed. But if I did go to Mass, there's a part of Mass, I believe, when the priest is holding up the bread, and people say, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." So, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." And every single time, people, I was like, why are people saying this? Like, this doesn't make any sense. So I would just say, "Lord, I am worthy to receive you." Like, can you imagine if I was at church and I said that as loud as I yelled, like, "Share your sparkle" at the end? That would have been hilarious. No, I was never that brave to do that. But I would say, "Lord, I am worthy that you should enter under my roof. Oh, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And it goes back to a story in the Bible where let me find it real quick. God, I want to say Matthew. I think Matthew 8:8. Yeah. A centurion, a Roman pagan, had a servant in his house who was sick. And he approached Jesus to heal the servant. And in the Bible, it says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed." So the church changed it to soul. But why didn't they change the worthy part? And this is what I'm going to say about worthiness. I really feel like that whole sentence should just be blown up. Because part of how I'm thinking about the world and God or Jesus is really that we're a part of it, right? Not separate from it. And I think a lot of the pain sometimes that we think is that we are separate from it, God, whatever it is, and that it's not present in our lives. But how is that possible when we didn't make ourselves? Our parents didn't make us. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, they made us, but somebody made. Our parents didn't make themselves. Our grandparents didn't make. Something made everything that exists right now. we don't know what that is. I guess some people think they do know what that is. But we don't, I don't think we know what that is. And that divine spark or thing, essence that created us is something that we can't be separate from, and that we should see ourselves as worthy of it, not unworthy of it. Like, there's a reason why I said, Lord, I am worthy, because that's how I feel. I feel that I, and I don't think it's blasphemous to say that. You know, it's one thing to be pompous and be a jerk and a jackass. But when you're saying you're worth something, and you're saying you're worth being divine, you're not saying you're better than anyone else. The idea, I honestly think the idea of Jesus has been misconstrued for thousands of years, because I don't think Jesus was the, he was like the exception, like that's it. Ooh, one person. I think it was an example of what we could be as humans and how we could be, not the exception. And why would you, isn't it interesting? Why would you have groups or people just think they're not worthy? Do you think about that for a second? That's weird. That's really messed up. It is really messed up. Think about that for a second. That's strange. You can believe whatever you want. I'm going to choose to believe that I am worth, right, being a part of something, whatever that something is, that created the everything. And it's just that simple. I am worthy. And then if you change that mindset, what are you going to do in terms of the steps to really make that and feel true, right? Because I think last time I talked about, I can't remember what it was I talked about. Basically, I'm talking a lot about thinking, right? But then as Bayard said, the proof that one believes is in the action. With my dissertation, I talked about how thinking I had already finished, or I was already done, to help me get to the end line or to the finish line. But I had to put my butt where my heart wanted to be. People, I had to, the last 3 months, I had to write every single day. The last 3 years prior to my dissertation, I had to go to class every other week from Friday night to Saturday after working full time and being a part of a family and raising kids and just doing whatever it is that I would try to usually do, like stay healthy, cut the grass, do whatever it is. Like, it's not just the mindset. I think we start with the mindset and then we take the steps that reflect our mindset. So I am worthy. I am worthy of the thing. I am part of the divine God, whatever it is that created us, whatever word you want to use. Because if we don't think we are, I don't know, I think life looks different. So my message to you is about worthiness. And I think it's hilarious that in church I would totally say, I am worthy. And I would sometimes whisper if I was really close to people, just because I don't know. Like, I didn't want to yell it, but I didn't say what I was supposed to say. And I think that's okay. I don't think it's okay. I know it was okay. So, I am worthy that you should enter under my roof. And I think it's also funny, they talk about entering it, because the story has to do with Jesus coming to the centurion's house, right? But if you've listened to some of the readings that I've done, God or the divine or the source wants, or my thinking, wants you to know that that essence or being is already there. So it's not really about entering. It's just a recognition of it already exists within you. That already exists. And the last part, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Now what if, I know in the sentence there it's talking to God or Jesus, but what if the abracadabra or the word is not someone saying it to you to be healed, right? Like Jesus saying it to the servant to be healed, or God saying it to you to be healed. What if it's you that has to say the word, but only say the word? It's only one word. It only says word, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. I think that word is yes. You know I'm crazy about that book, The Sacred Yes. I'm going to end on a passage related to availability. And yeah, those are my thoughts on worthiness. So, The Sacred Yes. It's just two pages, so bear with me. And remember, this is Dr. Reverend Deborah L. Johnson, and it's just messages that she gets from the divine. And here she says, or hears from our source, what will happen when you become more available to me? You will know a splendor like nothing you could ever imagine. You will awaken every day with a sense, a new sense of excitement and enthusiasm for the adventure the day brings. You look forward to the surprises. You cease to dread the difficult challenges or distressing interactions. You become amazed at how effortlessly and easily everything works out, even without your having to control it all. When you are available to me, you have a new vitality, energetically speaking. There is a zest for living. Your body temple becomes quickened. Fatigue diminishes, confusions start to clear up, and you feel a sensation throughout you of being more alive. You are available to me. You look forward to each day and its eventuality. There is a new and deeper sense of gratitude when you are available to me. Instead of noticing everything that seems to be missing, you see the fullness of everything that is in front of you. You bless it and caress it, and in doing so, create the space for it to grow, develop, transform into all needs met. When you are available, there is no need to worry. You move out of the self-centeredness of the ego into a place where you are centered in the self. There is so much more that you are able to do, accomplish, create, and share. And perhaps most importantly, when you are available to me, you have a greater capacity to just be, to just accept and love yourself the way you are, to fill every space with your energy, and to feel at peace wherever you are, with whoever is with you. You are able to do all these things because I can, and you are one with me. So focus on expanding your awareness of my availability, as well as on doing your work to increase your own availability. There is a partnership here that is important. And I'm not even asking or expecting us to be equal partners. But now there is too great an imbalance in our relationship. I'm so much more available to you than you are to me, in a way that hinders us both. It hinders my ability to express through you most constructively. I need your cooperation in order to do this. I can express anywhere through anyone. I can make the rock cry out. By the way, I'm going to pause there for a second. Sundays, usually I go with people, my mom, sometimes a neighbor, sometimes my sister, sometimes other people, on a 5.5 mile hike. So this past Sunday, my sister and I went, and my mom and a neighbor, and we leave them behind. We just plow ahead. And about 2 miles in, on this mountain ridge, right off the path, there's a can that says, "Sweet Baby Jesus." I'm not kidding. My sister was there. There's proof. "Sweet Baby Jesus." And I guess it's some kind of maybe lager or something. I'm not sure. But here it is, people, in the middle of a mountain, about 2 miles in, this random can, quote unquote, random can. So I'm going to go back to that last part. I can make the rock cry out. I can make the jackass speak. I will find another one to proclaim me if you do not. I am not hurt by your unavailability. You are. There are so many gifts that I am waiting to give to you that you cannot receive unless you engage me more in this partnership. Balance does not mean that everything is always egalitarian. For example, you need balance between your waking hours and your sleeping hours, but they do not have to be equal in length. You are expected to be awake more hours than you are asleep, and both are extremely necessary. it is my pleasure to provide the bulk, to be the larger portion of the equation. However, you must meet me at least partway. You must be available to me, or you will never know how available I am to you. Sacred Yes, as revealed to Letters from the Infinite, as revealed to Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. All right, people. You are worthy. You are worthy. Only say the word, and your soul shall be healed. That word you have to say. No one else can say it for you. And thank you, Mr. Rustin. The proof that one believes is in the action. Okay, everybody. Until next time, accept your sparkle, surrender to it, and allow it to be so. Until then, keep shining!